question number one is, why do you want to be superintendent of the Haynesboro School District?
Well, I'm a superintendent of several different districts, and this is two districts already, and I went from a smaller district to a larger district, and I found that it's not quite the connection that I was seeking with the students. The more students there are, the more adults there are, the more you're working with adult problems instead of four students, which is what my focus is and always has been. So I don't know people as well as I used to, and I miss that. And boy, it doesn't take very long to spend any time on your website to see that Haynes is a remarkable district. And I have three kids, so that's pretty much the reason.
All right, thanks. Okay, so if you were to leave your current district, what legacy would you be leaving behind that has strengthened the district?
Well, there's several things. For one thing, when I came to the district, we had a focus school, which I don't know how Alaska does it, but in this case, a focus school means that there was a very large gap between the bottom 30% and the top 30% in terms of test scores, and we've become a reward school since I've been here because we've closed that gap for student achievement. In addition to that, I've implemented a one-to-one program for computer technology devices, and we're piloting it and bringing it on very slowly, but we have funded it through a bond issue. The same is true for some construction issues. But I think, you know, the biggest legacy I have is that I've made a lot of connections, a lot of relationships, and I've connected and taken the district back to the community where we've made some really strong connections with the business community. I think that every student recognizes me. I spent a lot of time talking with them and a lot of time with the teachers. I would suggest that if you're interested in seeing how I connect with teachers, you can find that on my blog site. I put a lot of time into being with students and being with teachers and just connecting that way. So I think that's the biggest legacy piece.
Are we going to do follow-up questions now, like within the question, or should we do them at the end?
I think we could do it now if you had if you had a question.
I would just like to hear a little bit more about the transition or the from focus school to reward school and what you feel made a difference in that achievement.
Sure. I think that a major part of it was getting back to the teachers, and there was some issues with leadership in that building, and we were able to hand some of that back to the teachers, build up some of the relationships, get them talking to each other, take the time to really listen. And I think that's really truly the power of the superintendency more than anything else, is the ability to convene the experts and let the experts take the measures and just kind of. What you do as a superintendent is evaluate what's happening and make sure that the barriers are removed as much as possible and allow the experts to do what they do best in the classroom. And that's what I think I was able to do that with.
Thank you.
I have a question. In the same way, I would like to hear a little bit more about your one-on-one technology program in your schools that you implemented.
Okay. Well, I was instrumental in first passing the bond, but we didn't just hand, and I put in one-to-one programs in the past, but the real value of it is that we did it very slowly and we're doing it right this time. So what we've, and when I say this time, I mean in other districts, I kind of got forced in handing out all the computers at once because it was a grant. And that wasn't really the best way to do it. We didn't have the support. We didn't have the professional development we needed. We didn't have any kind of disbursement set up. We didn't have any kind of mission or vision for the actual program. And we've done all of those things this time. Again, if you're interested in that information, you can pull that up on our website. It's called the READY Initiative. There's a mission and vision statement. And the real purpose of it after we developed it was to have the students not only know things, but to be able to demonstrate what they know. Because frankly, employers no longer care what you know. You can find that on a device you probably have in your pocket. What they really want to know is how, what can you do with what you know? And so we're taking it to the next step where we're talking about critical thought, creativity, and the courage to take risks. And the device is a means of supporting that. It is not the answer, it's a tool, but providing and having professional development set up, having how are we going to integrate curriculum and instruction, talking about how we evaluate and making sure that the evaluation isn't just you're going to use it, but that it's going to be valuable to the teacher as well as to the student. So does that make sense?
Sure does. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Okay, thanks. So one of our board identified priorities in the Hainsborough School District is educational technology. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So this, and this question is a little different. So please describe what you would see in a school that is effectively using technology.
Well, effective use of technology is when it's used to expand the things that I was talking about, that it's an opportunity to present what the student knows in a different way. Because honestly, just knowing how to write a report, just being able to do research, even just how to use apps, things change so quickly. What the students have currently is not going to be the same as what's out there in 5 years. iPads are only 5 years old. And it's really hard for us to make assumptions about what's the best device because the device may change. So what I would expect to see, if it's being used effectively, is that it's being used so that the students have the opportunity to demonstrate their knowledge of the subject area in a way that's beyond what we've been doing for the last 100 years in terms of a factory education and lining them up and sitting them and moving them forward in that way. That's what I'd be looking for.
Okay, thank you. Okay, question number 4. This is a hypothetical kind of situation. You are superintendent and the state provides 63% of the revenue for your district. The state has a $4 billion shortfall and education is not spared from cuts. How would you proceed to reduce the district budget?
Well, I've had to cut multiple times. When I was in Rudyard, we had an $8 million budget, and I was forced to cut 10% of that budget my first year there. And the way you do that is you don't walk in and say, what should we cut? Because all that happens then is people kind of point at what's not theirs. I think it's just natural. People really want to protect what they have and they value what they have. So what you instead do is I always start with a series of questions where I'm asking, what is valuable? What is the most valuable thing? What makes Hainsborough School District Hainsborough School District? So that you know what you have to protect. And then you start building on what's left. So you have X amount of money. You make certain you protect the things that the community, you have meetings, town halls, you talk to community, you talk to staff. And then you find out where you can make the cuts by moving around the areas that you don't want to cut. And I realize that Alaska hasn't done, my understanding is from what I've read is Alaska hasn't done a tremendous amount of cutting in this way in the past. But it is something I have some experience in, and the whole point of it is don't go at it negatively. You want to proceed by saying what is it that makes us who we are and go from there.
Great, thank you. Okay, so this is our last question, which is...
Really moving fast. Sorry about that.
Okay, so describe a situation in which you made an unpopular decision, why you made that decision, and how you managed the implementation of the decision. And then as a follow-up, would you do anything differently today?
Yeah. Okay. I think the least popular decision I had to make recently, last year we had to reduce staff. We didn't reduce staff. We were able to fortunately reduce staff, not by laying anybody off, but by through attrition. We had some people leaving. We were kind of overstaffed in one area, and so we were able to shift some people around. It was still very unpopular because there were people who had to move from their buildings to new buildings, and that was very difficult. So how I handled it was, first of all, I made certain that we had these discussions at the administrative level, and we really talked thoroughly about what we're doing and why we're doing it, and made certain that every discussion centered around what was best for students. And then after we talked about that and were able to put that into place, once we've made the decisions, I made certain that I personally went to each individual who was being moved and had a conversation with them individually, explained why we were making the decisions we were making. That worked for, I want to say, 90% of the people that I spoke with. But there was some other people who were still very unhappy and very vocal about it. And what I did then was I put together a process sheet. And basically what it is I explained exactly why we made the decisions we made. We talked about it. We put it together. I had every administrator sign it. And actually, the first sheet that I put together, some of the administrators thought, well, that wasn't quite the reason. So we did some wordsmithing to make sure everybody felt comfortable with what we were signing, had everybody sign it, and then put that out to the entire district. So what that did is those people who were still upset, they were able to look at it. But when they went to other people and said, you know, I'm still really upset about this move, everybody could at least understand the process. Because if you understand why a decision is being made, you're much more, even if you're unhappy about it, you're much more willing to accept that decision. What I would do differently is I would work to anticipate and have that process sheet put together prior to needing it. And I think that's probably the thing I learned the most about it is, in the end, it worked out, and I think most of the people were pretty okay with it, and frankly, a couple of the people who were most upset ended up moving back because we had some openings over the course of the summer. But honestly, having it in advance would have probably been a better way to go.
Okay, that's great. So does anyone else have any follow-up questions in the back? Okay. All right, so that's it. Do you have anything else that you would like to tell us at this time?
Well, and you've seen my resume, and you've seen the questions, and you've seen the things that are on there. And I guess I just want to highlight that I'm excited about the opportunity to move my family, and with any luck, to Haines. I have some children who are very much into the arts, and that's one of the things that's so attractive to us for your district. The community there is strong in that, obviously. But if it's okay, I have a question or two for you, if you're right with it, as long as we have a little time. I'm curious to know, as I look over your district, you guys are doing some fantastic things according to what I'm seeing on the website. I know AMP wasn't real big, but apparently it wasn't real big anywhere, so you're losing that test, which is kind of a bummer in that you know, the only value to lagging indicators is that you are able to get some trends out of them to see where you're focusing to move forward. And it's a difference between proving what you did and improving what you're doing. And without those trend lines, it becomes very difficult. So you're going to be starting all over again next year, and hopefully they'll find a test that works this time. But I guess what I'm looking for is, based on that, what strengths, what do you see as the growth edges of the district? Because, man, you guys are doing everything right as far as I can tell.
So we have some board priorities that you've seen, for our district. As you said, right, we had the AMP test last year, which can't be compared to the SBA from the previous year. So we're kind of losing a little bit of trend data. But one thing that we've wanted to focus on is math, because we see that from a reading standpoint, our kids are doing really well, but math has been a focus that the board's been interested
in working on also middle school engagement is something that we've talked about for a couple of years that, you know, we'd like to reinvigorate. We started an initiative called Enhancing the Future and Engaging the Future. I knew I was going to get that word wrong, Engaging the Future. And that was our technology initiative, and that was we'd like to continue that, and that's integrating technology into the classroom, having it be, you know, more than, you know, just handing a child a computer.
Right, absolutely.
But making it, you know, an integral part of the lessons and the curriculum. So does anyone else have anything you want to add to that?
I think one area is to, I think the school's done a fantastic job over the years of bringing the lower students higher, but the kids that excel, I think there could be more enhancement programs or things available to stimulate them.
Okay.
I just want to make sure you're ready.
Let me ask one more question, if I can. What qualities are you looking for in your superintendent for the district? What are you looking for?
I think we have,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cause a problem.
So we kind of, you know, had a list, and, you know, we've worked with ASB, you know, for that, you know, and I know that we each have kind of our own, you know, our own personal qualities. You know, communication, I think, is a big deal for us, as well as honesty and integrity. It's someone who has a vision who's going to lead us forward. Anyone else have anything?
Being seen in the district, being part of the school, in and out of your office, and getting to know the kids, the parents, the teachers.
Which also means being part of the community, you know, as a whole, the school community, but our community here, we live here, it's a...
Right.
Where we are.
Yeah, we've worked pretty hard at getting our borough with our major maintenance part of it. We've worked pretty good, and we've established a good rapport with them. And that's one we'd like to keep, because it fell way away for a long time. It was like an unfocused thing. And our
borough is going through a change of leadership as well. They're currently looking for a borough manager. And that's somebody that our superintendent, you know, will work closely with, is the borough manager. And we'll also have a public facilities director. They're doing a little restructuring, potentially. So there is, you know, we have good coordination right now, and, you know, that's something we want to foster.
Okay. Well, let me, if I have a minute, I'll just tell you what I'm doing currently in those areas. So
okay,
you have,
we have five.
We have five.
You have five? All right, I'll take just
perfect.
I am currently, I'm president of the Chamber of Commerce, so I spend a lot of time talking with a lot of leaders of the community. In addition to that, I created a program called, a group called the Collaboration Committee, which is myself, the village manager, the county administrator, the head of community mental health, two or three of the biggest businesses. We get together for lunch at least once a month and sit down and talk about whatever's going on in our areas and try to make some connections there. And that's proved to be extremely valuable. Last year they were doing some road work and they were going to start 3 days before school ended, and I was able to say, wait, we can't be doing that. And it worked out really nicely to have those open means of communication, that ability to talk. In terms of communication and being visible, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who says that I'm not. I'm one of the ways I do that is not only to be visible, but to make sure that I get it all on Facebook, so there's lots of pictures, lots of people get to sharing what's going on in the district. And then I also do things like have coffee talks at least once a month out in the community just to be out there. I also set up my desk in the middle of the class, of the hallway of a school, and just work out in the hallways at least once a month in every building, because that helps me be there for students, be there for teachers, be there for parents, because that's a chance for them to see and connect with me. And then also just I start at least 3 days a week in a building, walking around, saying good morning, greeting kids. And that's proved to be very valuable too. So that's the end of my 5 minutes, or pretty close. Any other questions for me?
Let's see. Anybody else have anything? Okay. No, I think that's it. So I just again want to say thank you so much for your time. So our process going forward is that the board will meet this evening, and we will select the finalists. The consultants will be in touch tomorrow, and so we will be bringing finalists to Haynes for interviews on site February 22nd to 24th. So,
great.
So that's our little process from here. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the opportunity to interview with you.
Thank you so much, and you have a great afternoon.
All right, bye-bye.